pals o' mine. So I'm driving downtown this morning and I see this man cross the street in this very sharp looking suit. You know, the kind where you can almost smell his cologne, just an air about him, an aura. And I remember this woman making this observation that for most women, the effect of seeing a man in a suit is the same as the effect of women in lingerie is to men. And it kind of is. At least it was this morning for me. Just saying. So I talked about this last week, but I want to mention it again before I return it to the library. This book called Four Letter Word, Invented Correspondence from the Edge of Modern Romance. And it's a collection of fictional correspondence from 41 different authors. And it goes from comedic to very dark to stalkers, emails. The one that really came out of left field in a wonderful way for me was the writer starts off talking to his love and saying, I'm on my way to meet you. My wife is asleep in bed. And this letter is really not to you, but it's about you. And I understand it's a one-sided love affair, that you will never return the love I have for you. And you learn quickly that he's talking about a mountain. His love for this mountain, how he loves hiking the mountain, spending time in it. And it was just so out of left field. I just really enjoyed that. That was one of the longer pieces. Anyway, I mention this again because I have a friend who suddenly, surprisingly, got married. Nobody saw it coming. I wish them well. It's going to be different for them. I won't go into challenges they're going to be facing, but anyway, they're going to have a big party next month to celebrate, and I thought this would be a fun wedding gift idea. So if you have a wedding that's coming up and you're looking for something different, especially if it's a little older couples or maybe they're creative, artistic, I think they'd really enjoy this. So again, it's called Four Letter Word, Invented Correspondence from the Edge of Modern Romance, edited by Joshua Knellman, K-N-E-L-M-A-N, and Rosalind Porter. Did you see that news item about that apartment that had been abandoned by a woman just before World War II broke out? She fled to the south of France, apparently, and she never returned. So there's this home that's been vacant for 70 years. The woman died age 91, and that's when they discovered it. So I don't understand this on many levels. One, why did she not go back? She left everything intact. Everything is the same as when she left it. She fled in a hurry, I guess. And there are, of course, some valuable items in there now. But I'm wondering, did she not go back because something painful happened and she couldn't bear to return? Were there not items in there that didn't mean anything to her on a sentimental level, so she just wasn't interested? But why was it nobody living there for 70 years? Who's paying for it? Did nobody knock on the door? Did nobody wonder what had happened? Don't you think that's odd? I just think that's very odd. I mean, the focus of the news item was there was an extremely valuable painting in there that the woman's mother or grandmother had posed for. But I want to know about the woman who had lived there and why nobody knew that it was, well, it wasn't empty because all these items are in it, but that no one was living there for 70 years. It's very odd. There's a family that lived next door to us when I was a kid, and our families were extended families. We did a lot with each other during the summer. We would go to their cabin, they would go to ours. We'd have picnics and sleepovers as kids. And As I said, they were extension of each other's family. The daughter was my best friend. She was 2 years older than I was. We did everything together. We couldn't go anywhere without the other one being present. And same with her younger brother and my brothers. They were best friends. And her younger brother sadly passed away last year. Cancer, kidney related, very sad. But she and I just grew into different people. All we have now in common is our childhood. I see her infrequently. We're Facebook friends, but I really don't have anything in common with her. I have no connection at all. I don't dislike her. I just don't have a connection with her. I just not somebody I want to hang out with. And just because we have our childhood in common, there's no reason why I should have to. I'm a big girl, and I'm pretty good at selecting people in my friendship circle, as they say. But my father cannot let it go. He cannot understand why we are no longer friends. You know, that it's all on me. You know, what did I do? Did we have a fight? You know, why can't we move forward? Blah, 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 blah. And he's just really upset, and he gets so upset over this. And, you know, he only has a handful of friends, and he's had them since he was in grade school, high school, college. He's had the same few people. I have been blessed to have many friends in my life and continue to make them. My dad isn't like that. I'm more complicated than he is. I don't say that judgmentally or to be mean. It's just the way it is. And it could be women versus men, that women are more complicated. And people come and go in your lives. That's how life works. But it hasn't worked that way for him. He's lived in a little box, so he doesn't get it. And it drives me nuts. I just wondered if any of you have had that pressure from someone, you know, that you were friends before, so you must be friends again. Seriously? You know, let's move on. I have two things on my summer bucket list. Is to slide down one of those massive water slides. You know, the ones that take you 5-10 minutes just to get to the top. That would be a blast. Also, I've been on one zip line, but it was really short and very anticlimactic. So there's one I'd like to go on. It's in Sonoma County in California, and it's in the Redwoods. And it's 7 zip lines in a row. How great would that be? So I think they said it's almost 2 hours long. And since I've developed a little vertigo over the last couple of years, it would be challenging and adventurous. But I love, love the Redwoods. So I'm counting on them not to let me down. What are you doing this summer? Anything fun you can share? Because I'd like, oh, yes, and jumping out of a plane, skydiving, is still on my list. I keep looking on Facebook to see who else is jumping out of the plane when I have the one who's been wanting to do it for a year. So that's 3 things, not 2 summer goals. So here's your joke for the day. Stephen Wright. He says, I can remember the first time I had to go to sleep. Mom said, Stephen, time to go to sleep. I said, but I don't know how. She said, it's real easy. Just go down to the end of tired and hang a left. So I went down to the end of tired, and just out of curiosity, I hung a right. My mother was there, and she said, I thought I told you to go to sleep. So did you see David Sedaris on The Daily Show last week? Hilarious. Jon Stewart's face was turning red. He was laughing so hard. Now, David Sedaris is promoting his book, and he's saying because he has such a huge, long book tour, several cities, he's already been to 30, he plays little games or takes polls unbeknownst to those that are getting their books autographed by him. You know, I wonder how many people do this or how many people think that, you know, that kind of thing to keep from going stir crazy. So he asks, he was thinking that all men who wear beards have guns. He discovered that's not the case, but their fathers do. He says he feels safe saying that 80% of men with beards have fathers who own guns. Interesting, isn't it? But more interesting for me is the idea of being stuck going from bookstore to bookstore, from city to city, and even though you enjoy talking to people and meeting them, you have to have fun with it. Otherwise, they all kind of blur. And I just wonder, you know, what would be some fun questions or ideas to ask? Like maybe you see a pattern, like for him, it was beards kind of stuck in his mind. And something else that John Stewart asked him is if he noticed maybe different types of clothing, apparel in different cities, parts of the country. And he said one woman showed up with a Count Chocula t-shirt on. And I thought, you know, that would be kind of fun to have a Count Chocula shirt. Remember that show, what was it, Mystery Science Theater, where they would sit in the audience and make comments about these really bad sci-fi movies? Well, I remember this kid was jumping up and down on the bed, and the guys are saying, "I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs." I don't know. My brain just segued to that. That's what my brain does, like a roller coaster. I don't know where the hell it's going. But anyway, I was thinking that it would be fun to do something similar that David Sidaris was doing, in that if you're spending a lot of time going from town to town or event, like maybe you're a vendor, and so all these festivals and fairs you're going to, and I'm sure you have a lot of fun and you get to meet new people and kind of hang out, but sometimes you're just going to be going nuts. You're bored. You need some kind of mental stimulation. It would be fun to come up with 1, 2, 3 questions and just ask people, take your own little poll and see what results you get and kind of publish it. And I don't know, have a t-shirt that says your results and, you know, make a statement, make a claim and see how many people try to rebut that claim. And that could make your vendor time interesting, make it pass a little faster. Funner, I was going to say funner, changed my mind and decided to use it anyway. Funner. I know it's not a word, but it was funner to say. That could maybe stimulate some controversy too if you wore it on a t-shirt. And again, you have that part of the population who probably don't know that it's not a real word and wouldn't get it. Anyway, so come up with a poll. No matter what you're doing, if it's attending kids' games or what have you, and just see what you come up with. Do something different this week. Download old radio programs on your MP3.